1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show. The number one rated Phil Hendry Show Best of the Year 2000 CD and vinyl available at 877-616-7445. $20 for the CD plus $3.50 shipping and handling. $40 for the vinyl plus $3.50 shipping and handling. You can get it by way of Visa, MasterCard, or a check. And all of the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And they've been doing what they do there at My Friend's Place for 12 years without any government funding. There's no government grants there. No federal bread. This is all an enterprise supported by benefactors such as yourself, large and small businesses, individual contributors. That's how they've been going along and supporting their resource centers. And they have a new resource center at Hollywood, at the freeway there, at the Hollywood Freeway and Hollywood Boulevard. So if you'd like to order it up, and we have to date in our so far almost month-long campaign, made $25,634 with the sale of our CD and vinyl, you can call 877-616-7445. Cell phone use in movie theaters. I just saw an article that's kind of interesting. In fact, this is out from my hometown, the East Coast Bagel Company. I eat breakfast there. And they're over there in, actually, they're located in Westlake. They're in the Thousand Oaks part of Westlake. And the East Coast Bagel Company's got a sign, and it says, "Thank you for not using your cell phone while placing your order." And the reason why they did that is they got so sick and tired of people who were on their phone and ordering their double latte, whatever the hell it is, and then when they got their drink, it wasn't the right drink because they weren't placing their order properly. So these people are pouring drinks into the sink. So this place, it's the first restaurant that I know of in the area that simply will not take your order if you're on a cell phone. Ted Bell is a businessman. He works in Beverly Hills, and you use your cell phone, don't you, Ted?
You better believe I use my cell phone. I used my cell phone in a movie theater this past weekend, and the theater manager, we went to see the Jim Carrey film, the Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
How'd you like it?
You know what? I had my wife's nephew. He seemed to enjoy it. The part of the film that I saw looked great. Jim Carrey is a tremendous comedic actor. But we were at the Cineplex 6, which is over in Beverly Hills, and I was asked to turn my cellular phone off. Now, That's great when you talk about a place like East Coast Bagel. I understand that cell phones are irritating to some people, and I'm willing to go ahead and recognize that. But cell phones, Phil, and you have to know this, are not irritating to everyone. There are some people who are comfortable, and they are comforted in knowing that people like me, who employ a lot of people, who generate revenue for the economy, are out there staying in touch. We're connecting.
Okay, Ted, people hate cell phones. They hate the sound of cell phones. Is that yours?
Hold on for a minute. Call back.
So speak of the devil, there's your phone.
That's my phone, I'm sorry.
Where are you?
I'm in my office right now, and I apologize for that. But one of the things about a cellular phone is I do an awful lot of business on a cell phone. I've closed business deals. I have hired people. I had a conference call this weekend.
Well, how can you say that not everybody is irritated by cell phones?
There are a lot of people comforted by the fact that I use my cell phone and people like me.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the phrase, you use it and people like you?
People who employ, people who have large businesses. I own a major restaurant here in Beverly Hills, Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse. I have one of the top automobile dealerships, Beverly Hills Automobile Association. I employ a lot of people. I raise a lot of money. I make a lot of money. And when people hear my cell phone go off, they know that I am hiring and that I am moving the money around and that the economy is good. When people like me do that, I was conducting vinyl business. This kid comes up to me and says, "No cell phone use in the theater, sir."
And so you had a theater manager come up to you and say that there was no cell phone use. Is that your phone again?
Hold on for a minute. Yep.
Okay, Ted?
Hold on, Phil. I'm sorry. Yeah. I went on the air right now. I apologize, Phil, but I got to...
Can you turn that thing off?
I got to have it on.
I can't conduct an interview with you when you have that thing on. That's exactly what we're talking about, okay?
I got to have it on because I've got an awful lot of people who are... first of all, I got a conference call. I had a conference call on Saturday with Stu Brock, who is a supplier of mine, and you know Stu.
Yeah, I do.
All right, and I'm hearing back from today.
What do you mean people like you?
Phil, I employ a lot of... When people hear me on a cell phone, they don't get upset.
Even if it's in the theater?
Even if it's in the theater. This kid says to me, no cell phone use in the theater. I told him who I was. And I said that was fine for other people, but that I was conducting business.
What were you doing? You were on this conference call?
I was on a conference call with Stu Brooks. And I said I had to be there because my wife wanted to take her nephew to this thing, okay? So,
you were corralled into going to the movie theater.
That's correct.
Then why couldn't you leave the cell phone at home?
Because, first of all, again, Phil, a lot of people can leave their cell phones at home. I'm Ted Bell. I don't leave my cell phone at home. I conduct a lot of business on a cell phone, okay? Now, we watch a lot of DVD in our house, in our home theater, and my wife says she wants to get out, so we go see this movie, so she's the boss at home. At the office, I'm the boss. Me. I rule the roost. Ted Bell rules the roost. At work, but at home, it's Ted Bell's wife. Okay?
What is your wife's name?
I'm sorry?
What's your wife's name again?
Oh, boy. Well...
Your wife.
I know. Oh boy, that's a great one. I wanted to hold on for a minute.
Ted.
Hold on. Hello. Honey, what's your name? Yeah. Ann. Phil. Now
did you have to ask her what her name was?
Phil, I call her honey, I call her sweetheart. And I'm going to tell you something else. I rule the roost at the office. She rules the roost at home, okay? The problem that I had was that the manager comes back and tells me the patrons are complaining. So I said to him, I tell you what, stop the movie, let's ask the patrons. How many people actually don't like cell phones in movie theaters? And he said, no, sir, I'm not going to do that. I said, you see, kid, you don't have the guts. You don't have the guts. And I said to him, I'm Ted Bell, and he still wasn't getting it. And I said,
Ted, what do you do when people don't recognize you?
Huh?
What do you do when people don't recognize you? I mean, why don't people recognize you out in public?
I don't know. I really don't. But I'll tell you one thing. I told this kid that he didn't have the guts, and I'll tell your listeners, when you see a man with a cell phone being told to turn it off, have the guts to speak up and tell him to leave him alone. Leave that businessman alone because he's probably doing something that makes your life better. And you know that.
So you think that there is a groundswell of support for people who are using cell phones in movie theaters?
I honestly do. For people such as myself, Phil, who do an awful lot of wonderful thing and employ a lot of people.
Well, can I use myself?
I don't think it's fair to use yourself.
No, but let me just use me as an example. I hear a cell phone go off when I'm in the movie theater, and I get very angry.
Do you know who's on the cell phone?
It doesn't matter to me who's on the cell phone.
So in other words, if it was me and I'm conducting business and I'm hiring people and I'm getting money moved around the economy...
It doesn't matter. It doesn't register, okay? So you're sitting there and you're saying...
Well, Phil, you're alone because a lot of people appreciate the Ted Bells of the world. I make probably in excess of my restaurant, $10 million a year. We move a lot of money around the economy. We have in our employ probably some 50 to 60 people. I have a successful car dealership. Why wouldn't I be on a cell phone? Why couldn't I be on a cell phone? And why wouldn't people be happy to hear me on a cell phone? Right now we have the stock market going the toilet today. When Ted Bell is on his cell phone, the economy's doing well. When Ted Bell is doing business, business is doing well. If Ted Bell isn't on his cell phone, then things aren't doing well. So you want to sit and watch your movie, but Ted Bell leaves it on his cell phone.
Okay, I'm willing to take the chance that you being off of your cell phone for a few hours in a movie theater is going to hurt the economy, all right?
You're willing to take the chance, but other people are not, Phil. That's the point I'm trying to make. And as long as Ted Bell is on his cell phone and Ted Bell is getting business done, and Ted Bell is doing the things that he does to make sure that people are employed, Ted Bell, and that's me, I'm Ted Bell, can be assured that business is getting taken care of. And even if that means being on a cell phone.
Well, you know what, man? I think it's really wrong that you have that thing on all the time. Here we go again, okay?
Well, hold on for a minute. What? No. Okay. The thing that I wanted to say was that... Hold on. What? Tell him he was working till 10 o'clock.
Can we get going?
Hold on, Phil. He's working till 10 o'clock. Yeah. Phil, most of the business that I have... Hold on. Hello?
Can we move on, please?
Hold on. No, he's working till 10. Okay.
Oh, look, I got to take a break, all right?
But Phil, do you understand what I'm saying? Ted Bell needs to use his cell phone, all right? Other people, they can pound sand, all right?
What about Phil Henry? Does he get to use his cell phone?
Do you own a business?
No, I do not.
Then why, what difference does it make? You see what I'm saying? People who are moving the money around the economy, hiring and firing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Didn't he say he wanted to have a vote in the movie theater he was in this weekend? He was told to stop using his cell phone. He wanted to have a vote. How many of you people want me on the cell phone? And the theater manager wouldn't do it. He calls him gutless. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I hear a cell phone go off, I'm not thinking, hey, this guy's some heavyweight businessman who's got to hire and fire and make deals. I'm thinking this guy's bugging my movie. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. My guest is Ted Bell, owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. This is The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back. You got to turn that. Tell them to either turn it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell, owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. He's also the owner of the Beverly Hills Automobile Association's on the line. How much are you worth?
I'm sorry, Phil. How much am I worth?
Yeah, how much are you worth?
Oh, I don't know. About $100 to $150 million.
About $150 million.
That's right. And I'll tell you something, Phil.
Well, don't you have enough money now whereby you don't have to be conducting business?
Phil, I've got a lot of people in my employ. I have an awful lot of people who are relying upon me for a paycheck, and I move a lot of money around. And I will tell you, no, I can't turn my cell phone off. I'm not going to turn my cell phone off. I think we have been living in a tyranny of people who imagine nobody likes cell phones. I will tell you right now, there are a lot of people who are comforted and feel...
How do you know there are people comforted by the fact that you're listening to your cell phone?
Because I had at least two. I had an old lady, she was a sweet old lady, come up to me, and it was after this whole fracas at the theater. My cell phone went off in the theater, and she said to me, "Oh, thank God for you, and thank God for you." She was talking about how she wanted to know what I did, and she said, "Thank God you're employing people. My son's been out of work," and she was near tears, knowing that she was standing next to Ted Bell. Ted Bell, who employs people.
You're kidding.
No, I am not kidding. No, sir, I'm not.
All right, here is Oklahoma on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi. First of all, I guess, is it insinuated that you talk while you're in the movie theater?
I beg your pardon, ma'am?
You talk on the phone?
Of course, yes.
Well, okay, so you're not just answering it and leaving the theater?
No, ma'am, I'm in the theater.
Talking?
Yes.
Okay, why would you think that you're... any different than any other person that needs to go by the rules?
Well, because I employ probably between my two businesses alone, I employ over 100 people. That's a lot of families that are relying upon me to make sure that money's being invested properly, that suppliers are being paid on time, that money is getting moved through the economy.
Okay.
I'm Ted Bell. Where are you from, dear?
Oklahoma.
Okay, I'm Ted Bell.
Yeah. So,
all right. So you come out to California, and I'm going to sit you down at a table at Ted's of Beverly Hills. You have the best steak you ever had in your life. I want to know. I want her name before she gets off the air, Phil.
Okay.
Because I want to give you two. I want to give you a dinner for two at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Okay. The deal is.
I want her name. I want her name before she's off.
I got it. Okay.
Okay. The deal is though that you know, you could be considerate.
Juiciest steak you ever had too.
Okay.
Juicy.
Hello.
Yeah, I got it.
Hello. Okay, you could be considerate of people and leave.
No, I'm considerate of people. Do you know this old woman came up to me and she said, "Thank God you're answering your phone." And
okay.
I said, "Well, now why would you say that? Because most people hate people who are on the cell phone in a movie theater." She said, "Because I know you look like a successful man. I know you're Ted Bell," because she recognized me. And she said, "I know that you employ people. Thank God." And she wept. I saw the tears. Okay.
Okay. What?
And she said that because she knows that I'm Ted Bell. You don't.
Look, Ted, this lady is in Oklahoma.
I understand that.
Well,
but it
doesn't matter if you're Ted Bell or anyone else.
Wait a second.
If you're Bill Gates.
Ted Bell employs people.
You need to go by the rules just like everybody else.
What about the old lady that cried? What about her?
What about anybody else get upset? Apparently somebody had to complain to the management of the theater, otherwise the guy wouldn't come down.
Yeah, one guy, I said to him, you take a vote of everybody in this joint. He didn't have the guts to do it. You know why? Because he knew he'd lose. He knew that most people want to hear a cell phone go off in a movie theater.
Wait a minute. You have got...
I'm not kidding you. Most people feel happy... See, there goes mine. Hold on for a minute.
Okay, I don't think most people want to hear...
Hold on for a minute. What?
I don't think most people want to hear a cell phone when they're trying to watch a movie. Especially, right. And then him talk.
Ted?
Hold on. No, I didn't.
Okay, we got dead air here.
Oh, dead air. Well, you're one of those hep talk show callers, huh? You know all about dead air. Well, that rates... I got to hang up on you now. Okay?
Oh, you do?
Yeah, bye. She's chronic. Ted!
Hold on.
Come on, man! Here is Austin on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
People in Oklahoma are out of touch with the world. That's why this lady doesn't recognize me. She probably doesn't know who Jim Carrey is either.
Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, I think old brother Ted there is on an ego trip.
Hold on.
And he needs to hang up that phone.
Okay, sir, anything else?
Yeah, I'm a businessman from Austin. I'm on my cell phone right now. And I know when I'm in the movies, I sure as heck don't want somebody's phone going off.
Well, you're on the phone calling a talk show?
You know how to separate your personal life from your business life, and I feel sorry for you and your wife, brother.
Why don't you stay off the phone?
Yeah, I feel sorry for you and your wife, because you don't know how to separate your personal life from your business life.
All right, be quiet. Everybody be quiet. What,
yeah,
Ted?
All right, I'm just saying to this guy, he's calling a talk show on his cell phone. You must be really doing some business, pal, when you got all that air. You're using all your air time to call a radio show. Yo, you ain't selling much of it.
Well, I sure am. I'm one of the top producers of my company.
What are you doing sitting on a cell phone right now?
Well,
that cell phone ought to be free and clear for business calls.
Just enjoy my wife a little bit listening to this show.
Well, you're pulling your root calling some talk show.
All right. Here is Irvine on a Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Why, why'd you hang up on him?
Hello.
Because he's almost as boring as you. Yes.
Oh, I'm boring, huh? You know, as Ted Bell...
Go ahead, Irvine. What are you doing? You eating the phone down there in Irvine? Hello? Irvine. Here is Hershey, Pennsylvania on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Phil, forgive me. I thought this was a skit at first. Ted, sir, is this for real?
Would you please move that phone?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
Ted, I don't doubt you're a successful businessman, and I'm sure your steaks are wonderful.
I said to the guy, Ted Bell, and the kid wanted me to get off my phone.
You were in a movie theater.
So what?
So this is my point, that money does not buy manners.
Wait a minute. The people in that movie theater want me on that phone. They need me on that phone.
You're telling me some 16-year-old kid...
Because if I'm not on that phone, people die.
To stop the movie to take a poll?
I asked him to stop the film to take a poll. How many people here are bothered by my cell phone? If most of them were bothered by the cell phone, I would hang the cell phone up. If most of them liked the cell phone... Well, guess what you'd hear? You got it.
Unbelievable.
Okay, dear, your car phone's crapping out a little bit.
Forgive me. Thank you.
Well, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show, Huntington Beach. Hello.
Hi. Yes,
ma'am.
I'm on the line. I just think this guy, I thought this was a joke at first.
Would you turn that phone, Mike, tell him to turn his phone off.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Well, you know, you got to turn it off. You got to be on the radio show. You have to turn it off.
I'm awfully sorry.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just think this guy has an incredible sense of self-importance that's just completely overinflated. I don't agree. If you're in a movie theater, like I was explaining, you can put your phone on vibrate, or you can put it so it will beep once and you know you have a call
to the emergency,
and you step out of the movie theater.
No, why should I step out?
It's rude to the individuals that are there.
I went to see this movie with my nephew. I wanted to see the movie.
But you're not seeing it. You're on the phone.
I am seeing it. I'm looking at it.
And if you wanted to see the movie, then you can put your calls on hold. I'm from Southern California, and I've never heard of you. You can't be that important.
No, excuse me. I'm Ted Bell.
I don't care who you are. It's rude.
Ted Bell, okay? Ted Bell is in business.
I think you're getting a lot of publicity from this.
Hold on for a minute.
And that's your point.
Hello?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Hi, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I don't know if you saw this in the paper this morning. The Democrats' top donor is disappointed in Vice President Al Gore's conduct since the presidential election and believes that the candidate bears responsibility for the stalemate because he failed to give Americans a compelling reason to choose him. I saw this morning, and my wife pointed it out to me because she said, there, you see, you're not the only Democrat who feels like Gore has blown this thing. But I read this, and it says, well, he's not just saying that Gore is blowing it in terms of the recount and the aftermath of the election. He's saying this guy never really drove this thing home when he could have. And he's right. But you know what? It ain't just Gore. It's both of these guys could have really put the lid on. They both of these cats could have really sent this thing over the fences, and neither guy had the juice to do it. This guy, Peter Buttonweiser, whose $1.3 million in donations puts him at the top of the list of individual donors to the election, Democrat or Republican, is apparently not alone. Many of the Democratic establishment's been presenting United Front during the Florida recount. Several of Gore's biggest contributors and fundraisers are quietly or openly expressing dissatisfaction with him, blaming him for the murky outcome. And on it goes. This guy is done. And I heard it this morning. Apparently inside the Gore campaign, people are saying, if the Florida Supreme Court, this is the end of the road for the Gore campaign. The Florida Supreme Court rules against him, then he's going to move on down the road. He's going to move on down the road. He is out of here. He is in, you know, stick a fork in that cat. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Because I'm, like I said, Friday, I'm so tired of looking at this. I don't, you know, Bush is going to get in there. He ain't got no mandate. He got nothing. Going to be hard to be president of the United States. But anyway, there was a really interesting article because now all of a sudden it's starting to leak out that the people who gave the money to the campaign, some of the big heavy hitters with the large dollars, people who work in a campaign, now all of a sudden it's starting to leak out. The stink ain't too good. Al is not impressing anybody. And it really bums me out. Thank God I found out, though. I voted for the guy. Now I'm finding out after I vote for the guy what kind of a guy he is. Now, here's a guy, I just heard a guy say it. He was on the Armed Services Committee, served in Vietnam, he's an Army veteran, and he's screwing around with overseas ballots of military people. Disallowing these, and this one isn't postmarked. This guy's playing it fast and loose with the ballots of people that he supposedly was serving when he was on that Armed Services Committee, and the people that he served with when he was in the Army. Now, and he's playing it cute with these guys. Just bug off, will you, Al? Go back to being a distinguished senator from wherever the hell it is you're from. Now it's time for Phil Hendry's Fat Warnings. As you know, each and every week at this time, we give you some idea as to what to look for when you are reading the personals in the Globe, what to really look for to make sure that you're not, you know, you're not landing something big. You're not really good, you know, in other words, you won't get fooled into pulling something onto the dock that may break your line. That's all we're talking about here. That's all we're talking about. We're just talking about making sure that, you know, if you think she's underweight, she is underweight. So you got to know which phrases will tip you off to the fact that she's fat.
When marimba rhythm stop.
And getting fatter. Very attractive dentist, 37, healthy looking for a, let me do that all over again. Very attractive dentist, 37, healthy, looking for a gentleman, likewise between 42 and 58, with more than economical stability and willing to get married. Send photo. So which phrase do you think is the fat phrase? Go ahead, Craig. I think he's... Dentist is the fat phrase. Absolutely. Mike thought it was willing to get married. Yeah, 37... dentist. So you're going to have to, you know, you'll be moving some walls. Correctional Institute inmate, sweet sensation, Asian black beauty, tenacious, romantic, caramel skin tone, very intelligent, love to read, exercise, cook, outdoors music, is looking for a secure, open-minded, non-judgmental gentleman. All right, so which is the fat phrase? You got an idea there, Mike? What's your idea? Looking for non-judgmental? No, that isn't it. Asian black. Those, that combination right there, you know, you, I don't know, I don't even know, I don't know where to begin. I don't even know where it ends. Correctional Institute inmate, Latin exotic dancer with accent, bedroom brown eyes, sexy, seductive personality, pleasing in every way, silk black hair, olive skin, real eye-catching charm, faithful, passionate, and honest.
Other dancers may be on the floor.
Accent. She has an accent. There it is. That's the word that'll tip it off. All right. Secure lady of Christian faith wishes correspondence, friendship with retired mature senior widower of color who enjoys Bible study, appreciates simple lifestyle, loves goodness and cheerfulness. You got it. Craig guessed it. Woman of Christian faith. That's pretty large. That's a tub. Notice she says she's looking for a man of color, but she herself is a redhead. All right, single white female, single white female, 54, blue eyes, reddish blonde nurse, looking for a guy who's 54 to 60 years of age. Which is the fat phrase? Which is the tip off? Nurse, exactly. Beautiful. You're getting good at this, Craig. You didn't think you were any good at it. When you see nurse, go ahead and hit the lighthouse, man, because there's a ship ready to run aground. Finally, classy, Nashville native, attractive, blue-eyed, blonde, mid-50s, gregarious, loves life, light smoker, seeks a special gentleman. Which is the fat phrase there? Gregarious, he thinks it's gregarious, and Mike, you think it's mid-50s. No, the phrase that tells you that she's huge, and I don't just mean fat, this chick's huge, Nashville native. And there you have it. We go back to some back issues here. This just helps you, you know, you're looking for that one phrase. Correctional Institute inmate, sensuous, loving, but lonely diva, seeks long-term relationship with loving, supportive, older gentleman. Mike says it's lonely diva. What do you think? Yep, you're right, diva. Not even lonely, just diva. She must be... Oh, my God. She must be enormous. By the way, these correctional instamates, that don't necessarily say she's fat. First time at bat with these correctional these Correctional Institute inmate ads, everybody said, well, Correctional Institute inmate. No, that is not the tipper. Sometimes, but not always. Correctional Institute inmate, appreciative, single female, 28... Loyalty, sincerity, do you possess it? Exactly what I seek, no games, just wanting someone real to identify with, comforting, supporting each other. I'm a classy, alluring, distinctive lady who possesses inner and outer beauty, serious only. What is the phrase? All right, Mike says it's classy and alluring, etc. What do you think? No. Actually, Mike, you were close. It's distinctive lady. Classy, alluring, distinctive lady. That means... huge. Huge. Single Filipina, no dependents, 54, nurse, old-fashioned values, many interests. Old-fashioned values, many interests. Loves the outdoors, loving, honest, marriage-minded. What's the phrase? Single Filipina, says Craig. And Mike says it's marriage-minded. No, old-fashioned values. She must be Zeppelin size. This is really sad. You know, if we were mentioning their names, I guess it would be cruel. But this is... It's just an example of things to look for. When you're answering one of these ads, my man, you better have your wits about you. You better have both hands on the wheel, okay? We're just giving you a hand here. Beautiful Asian Russian lady, honest, loving, understanding. I'm seeking a man 30 to 45 who's ready to build a happy family. Which is the phrase? And by the way, this woman is not only large, she's frightening. Which is the phrase? Okay, Craig doesn't know. Mike, you're right. Asian Russian. Boy, not only is she fat, run. She's psychotic. All right. Hear this music? You're my thrill. See how scary this music is? This chick's got a beard, she's got slanted eyes, and this music is going through your head in a like a fever dream. You're just trying to find the keys to your car, man. You are hoping to God you can find the front door. And please, dear God, let the car start. What are you saying, Mike? You're going through the yellow pages looking for a justice of the peace. Come on. Correctional Institute inmate, beautiful Italian princess, dark hair, green eyes, olive skin, loyal, faithful, honest, passionate. What's the fat phrase? Italian princess, yeah. Craig got it. You said olive skin. No, you see the word Italian in any one of these ads. And you better start widening that door. Widow, early 70s, 5'4", full figured, non-smoker, drinker, down to earth, honest, affectionate, would like to meet gentlemen. Now, full figure doesn't necessarily mean fat. Which is the phrase in there, which is the word in there that means she's a tub? No guesses? Affectionate. This has been Phil Hendry's Fat Phrases and Fat Warnings. And like I said, if you're going to dive into this lake and you think you're going to touch bottom, you need this help. We'll be around next Monday and maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe we'll do it every day this week. Thanksgiving's coming up, so you may need some of this help each day of the week. Our Fat Warnings. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry, and don't forget, if you'd like a copy of our Best of the Phil Hendry Show for the Year 2000 CD or vinyl, 877-616-7445. That's the only other thing about cell phones that I wanted to mention was the fact that everybody talks on them like they're yelling at somebody across the street. So it doesn't make any difference where the person is. You know, they may have it on vibrate. They answer that thing in a movie theater. I guarantee it. Hello? Because I was next to a guy in the airport. Yeah, hi, Ed? Yeah. No. I'm at LAX. Uh-huh. Yeah. And do they realize, does this guy know? I can hear everything he's saying. Hello? Yeah. Yeah, well, tell them that I got it. There's no such thing as whispering on one of those things, because you don't have any sense as to how loud you should be speaking, and you may think you're whispering, and you're talking about at this level here, and So I'm sitting next to a guy at LAX one morning. I'll never forget it. We were getting on a plane to go somewhere. Maybe I was just sitting there, and maybe I was lonely, and I just wandered over to the airport and sat, which I do a lot of times. I'll just get a bag of popcorn and sit at one of the gates. Craig, you're right about that. You'd get yourself a tall beer out of the bar and wander in one of the gate areas and just sit there and suck on it and maybe pass out on one of the benches and sleep overnight. I just love to do that. The guy's there going, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, okay. All right, well, give my love to Bob. Tell Lucky Luciano, too. I'm sorry they deported him. Right. Oh, no problem. All right. Well, we've got those secrets. We're trading to the Chinese next week, and it'll be just fine. Phil Hendry Show.
The gay community has long loved Barbara Streisand and James Brolin, and by harassing her and making her feel bad, that makes me feel bad.
Well,
okay, and
your
I feel
arguments
bad.
Are way out
my
of whack.
Gay erosion.
You over there
my
calling
gay erosion.
Him, I don't know if you know anything about legal pretenses, being that you're in the, you know, you're a writer. But, you know, you better watch out what you say about calling him a homosexual.
In my opinion, he's a homosexual because he's no straight man would ever take a picture of Barbara Streisand.
And you keep saying that no straight man would ever take a picture of Barbara Streisand.
No, I didn't say that once.
No, I'm talking to Doug. I'm saying to Doug that...
No, he's talking to you, sir.
No, I'm not talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, Doug, that you say that... Oh, I forgot.
But no straight man would take a picture of Barbara Streisand.
I never said no straight man would take a picture of Barbara Streisand.
Yes, you did.
I said that. I know you didn't say that, sir. He said it.
No, he said that you said it, sir. You said that no straight man...
He did not say that. You said it.
No, he said it. Didn't you?
Okay.
Did you say it?
I'll say that I said it, though I didn't just
make straight
it happen.
You just said it yourself.
What is your qualification to say that gay people, that's a matter of opinion, are more boring? I mean, you have no idea to the audience how paranoid you sound.
No, I'm just saying.
You sound like, What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, compared
you're
to you,
say you're more colorful than Phil because you're gay.
No, I'm saying
that's a crock.
No, I'm saying that you are straight. For instance, compared to you, I'm Liberace. I mean, you know, I'm just.
Well, I don't doubt you're Liberace.
Okay, there's your homophobia.
Oh, I see. I'm homophobic.
First,
Liberace was gay, so I guess that means I'm homophobic by comparing you to him.
Well, I like
that. There's where the paranoid goes, Phil.
Right,
he's always paranoid. Every comment somebody makes, automatically, you're a homophobe.
Are you trying to tell me that homosexuals...
On gays. Are you trying to do with it.
You trying to tell me that gays are not more exciting and interesting than straight people?
Matter of opinion. Maybe you think so, but, you know, I don't think so. Maybe Phil doesn't think so. Maybe Joe Blow down the street doesn't think so.
Any guy named Joe Blow is gay.
And then if we try to back up what you said by saying, what do you mean? Because we don't dress flamboyantly? There you go. Oh, no. There goes your homophobia.
Well, there you go.
Homophobia talk.
Do you dress in a flamboyant manner?
No, I dress
probably
like the average person.
Are you afraid?
I wouldn't know what
to say. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything.
Well, then why don't you dress more flamboyantly?
Because I choose not to. I'm comfortable dressing around in beautiful sweats and sneakers. So does that make me homophobe? Because I don't want to dress in whatever you might think is homosexual clothing?
Well, I was just saying it's reverse erosion. Okay?
What is that?
Erosion theory.
No.
I don't know where you're coming. You know, and I don't know. Did you say Jim Rome was a gay icon?
I said Jim Rome and Rush Limbaugh. No, I'm saying, I said to you.
Yeah, you did. You said that Bette Midler, Jim Rome, Rush Limbaugh. I wrote it down. Bob Fosse.
Yeah, these are all people respected and loved by the gay community, yes, sir. Why?
Yeah, why?
Well,
to be honest with you, I have heard about the Judy Garland and Bette Midler thing. I've never heard about Jim Rome, and I've never heard about Rush Limbaugh, so I don't know where
you're coming from. They're both tremendous performers and great talk show hosts, but yes, it's a matter of knowledge, common knowledge in the gay community, that Jim Rome and Rush Limbaugh are idolized.
So let me ask you something. Phil, in your opinion,
you're kidding me, right?
Doug Danger guy sound like he's a little paranoid. He talks about homophobia. Doesn't
well,
he sound like he's
right
paranoid
now.
That everything that people say
I'm
or do
what
is
about,
anti-gay?
Yeah,
and
that's a good question because Doug, you know, when you walked into that supermarket that day, and when you said to the kid that you wanted a pack of Benson and Hedges, right?
That's right.
And he laughed. You pinned him up against the cash register and asked him if he was homophobic, didn't you?
Kid was making fun of me.
He wasn't making fun of you. He was making fun of the fact that you ordered Benson and Hedges.
Yeah, he thought I was a fag. Okay.
But what, what's that give you the right to start belting people? Because
he was laughing at my choice of cigarettes. What do you smoke, sir?
I don't smoke.
Okay, so you got something against that?
No, I have nothing. Did you get paranoid? I have nothing against anything.
You got something against
my parents smoke. I just choose not to smoke because I like to live longer and have clean lungs. It has nothing to do with...
Yeah, let me tell you something. I didn't ask for Virginia Slims, man. I asked for Benson and Hedges, okay? All right, I ain't no, I'm not no Mary Jane, all right? I walk around. I go to hockey games. I'm a guy. Yeah, I like men. And maybe I like to bend them over. And maybe someday if...
I'll tell you, when I first heard this whole conversation, I thought this was a joke.
Doug,
this was a joke.
I want to ask you something.
Like, this guy's got to be joking.
And
when I realized you were serious, and where do you come across, what scientific proof do you have that people can turn gay? Either born gay or you're not gay. You don't turn gay. You might commit a gay act, but that doesn't necessarily make you gay. You could still be a heterosexual and commit a gay act.
Well, many men have committed gay acts, okay? But I'm saying a different time, a different place, maybe you and I could have been friends, okay?
But you can't make somebody gay. Either you're gay or you're not. You don't
I'm
become
not gonna
gay.
I'm not going to make you gay, man.
All right, look.
What's the matter?
I'm going to move on.
I like this guy.
Well, I don't care. I'm going to hang up on him.
Are you? Where do you live, man?
Hey, Phil, I appreciate it, Phil. Thanks for giving me a chance to be heard.
You blow one guy, they call you a fag.
Okay. It comes back to you.
Phil Henry. Because it's a long.
Why does Dr. Pepper come in a can?